were friends before we ever got into it. So I assumed we'd be friends after. Yeah, man, sitting on my deck, sipping some scotch, talking hockey, reminiscing about chasing our dreams. But not just chasing our dreams, crushing our dreams. We did that.
Hello, and welcome to another Sunday morning edition of Collision Catch-Up. My name is Aaron Grant.
I am independent wrestler, the standard Matt Grant, your current cross-body pro wrestling internet champion, as well as one half of the HWE Tag Team Champions. If you're listening to this before we get into the episode, I'm actually wrestling today, live, free, YouTube. Cross-body pro wrestling, defending the internet championship in a fatal four-way match, for the Clover match. It is St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day. But yes, youtube.com/crossbodypro wrestling academy. Check that out. It will be up, I'm assuming, afterwards, the replay to watch. So if you don't catch it live, go back and watch it. Support some good independent professional wrestling. Yeah, but yeah, we are here to talk All Elite Wrestling Collision. We are here to talk AEW and a pretty solid show from AEW for Collision this week, in my personal opinion.
No, I have to say, we watched it on a tape delay quite late last night, and despite being sleepy while watching, it was very captivating episode. And even this morning, reading through and just processing how much happened, like, it was a really good Collision, I have to say.
Yeah, solid from top to bottom. I say without further ado, let's not waste any time and dive right into the top 10 for this week.
Top three. Wow, top I was going to say, Jesus. You're ambitious.
Yeah, that's really ambitious. I'm trying to count. I think there's literally like 11 things I've written down. So,
I was going to say, 1 to 3 is hard. You know what? I respect it.
Counting is hard, apparently.
Counting is hard.
Top three. Go ahead.
My number three, I decided to go with Lance Archer versus Claudio Castagnoli. It was one of those matches that when we first saw the graphic, we actually did both look at each other and be like, that feels random.
You know, like, what? It's kind of funny because when this match first got announced, my first reaction was like, who's losing?
And that's the thing, too, because like, we're so used to seeing Claudio as such a powerhouse and usually being the bigger man in the match. And then, like, you see him next to Lance Archer, and it's just like, oh, this is different. But,
yeah, both men are very protected in AEW. So, yeah. When this match got announced, I was kind of like, all right, like, I'm in. Like, I'm down to see big, meaty men slapping meat. That's always good. But, I'm really intrigued to see what happens.
Storyline going forward,
because we had them two going at it, and a no finish as the Righteous make their interruption and attack Claudio Castagnoli. Of course, their allegiance to Lance Archer and that whole faction. No Jake Roberts, I should note.
Yeah.
But then you have Bryan Danielson running down after his match earlier in the night with Shibata, making the save, and you have Shibata himself also helping out, evening the odds against the Righteous and Lance Archer. So, very, very interesting. No Moxley. They made note of that on commentary that he was not at the show that night. I'm assuming you would do the same. So, interesting. Maybe like a honorary member of the Blackpool Combat Club?
I don't know. It was just, again, just kind of an unexpected situation of a match that I really didn't know what to expect. And as a whole, great match, too. Like, again, these are two very large, very strong men. We got to see Claudio teasing the swing the entire match, and everyone's just like, oh my God, I want to see him swing Lance Archer. And that's what ended up getting interrupted by the Righteous. So just, and again, happy to see the Righteous and Lance Archer continuing, because
now that you say that, they really did tease the swing.
They kept
quite a few
teasing
times
it
in the match. Yeah,
there were swing chants. And my other favorite chant, talking about big meaty men slapping meat, is that now whenever these big men collide with each other, it's just become a thing for the crowd to chant meat.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
and
it's fantastic.
I want an opportunity to chant meat at an AEW show.
I mean,
which that's why I'm saying it, is I'm telling you, that's my hope. I don't have too many hopes and dreams for what to expect from this Wednesday, but that is officially one of them.
I was going to say, in case you didn't know, myself and Aaron reside in Hamilton, Ontario, which means we are close to Toronto, Ontario, which means This Wednesday, we will be attending Dynamite.
Dynamite followed by Live Rampage as
well. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We get a 3-hour show.
Which also means, unfortunately, you will not be hearing these beautiful voices on this network next week.
Yes, as there will be no Collision.
Shout out the NCAA March Madness Tournament. But anyways.
So that was my number three. How about you take it into yours?
Yes. So, sorry, let me just pull up my list here. Wasn't quite prepared for the abrupt throw to.
I just like to keep you on your toes.
No, that's fair. That's fair. My number three is our main event for this week. The Infantry against House of Black.
Good one.
I really enjoyed the match. I do enjoy the Infantry. I really enjoyed the vibe. I enjoy what they brought to the table. They hung with the House of Black. Not only did they hang. All right, let's try this again. Not only did they hang with the House of Black, they won the match. And they moved on in what this was a wild card tournament to get into the AEW World Tag Team Championship tournament as a whole. So they are in the tournament now after having defeated the House of Black.
Which is also kind of...
And Buddy Matthews.
Which is also just sort of a shocking development when you think about it big picture. Because I was looking at the graphic after, and that means that the House of Black is... They are not contenders right now in this tournament for the tag team championships, which is unexpected to me, especially they've been really pushing House of Black lately, particularly the team of Brody King and Buddy Matthews.
However, it was not a clean victory, as the referee being distracted and Mark Briscoe making his presence known, chucking a chair at the head of Buddy Matthews, and Sean Dean just capitalizing on it. For the 1-2-3, I believe it was Sean Dean, if I'm not mistaken. Now I'm questioning.
I was going to say, to be honest, I'm not a
one of the
person
members
to ask.
Of the infantry. Regardless, the infantry are
victorious.
Sean Dean, hell of a run for him. Gets two victories over MJF, beats Sean Spears, and now beats the House of Black.
Dude's it's a good resume going.
Dude's got a solid resume going in AEW so far. So. Shout out to the Infantry, making a mark on the AEW Tag Team Division on their first go-around, and I'm really intrigued to see what this tournament brings us, and yeah, it looks like we're going to get the Infantry and FTR in the, opening round of the tournament.
So. Yeah, the technical opening round.
Yeah. You're number two.
All right, my number two, I really went back and forth between my number one and my number two, and I finally decided just to settle on this order, but it was our closing of the show where we got to hear from Adam Copeland as he unveils his new weapon of choice as inspired. I was really debating back and forth between friend and weapon of choice as inspired by, he said he had discussions with Mick Foley, and he brings out a 2x4 covered in nails and its name is Spike.
Yeah. So, we talked about it last week, very similar to Abyss's old weapon, Janice, named after your mom, which
I know.
Got you. If you haven't listened to that, I think last week's episode is worth the listen for that alone
because
it genuinely popped Aaron.
There's a lot of old wrestling details that I am not necessarily familiar with. I only really started consistently watching, I would say, consistently 2018 and probably a little earlier than that, 2014. But either way, there's things like that. I had no idea. My mom's name is Janice. That has suddenly turned into a very badass name for me. So go, mom.
Well, yes, Copeland addressing the I Quit match is going to be going down this Wednesday in Toronto. And bringing out good old Spike.
Yeah, getting into details about how, despite being friends for 40 years, Jay is dead to him. There is no Jay because he has been taken over by Christian Cage. And, he just needs to basically lay him to rest at this point.
Yeah, it's
that's easily
they're gonna kick the shit out of each other.
Incredibly exciting. Again, as people who have the opportunity to be there, I'm gonna lose my shit.
Ironic,
Adam Copeland is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Well, ironic because it was just over a year ago that we attended the final match of Edge in WWE, and now here we are, and we're gonna be attending an I Quit match featuring him versus Christian Cage.
It wasn't even a full year ago because that was when we went to the exhibition, which means it was in the summer.
Oh, yeah. So probably about 9 months ago.
That's like wild. And I really, at that time, was so thrilled because I got to see him live for the first time, thinking it was going to be my last ever opportunity to see him wrestle. And now I get to see him and Christian Cage beat the shit out of each other, for lack of a better phrase. So I'm
pretty wild.
I'm ecstatic. So I had to put that in my top three.
I completely respect that. My number two for this week will be taking it to the return of Kyle O'Reilly to AEW, as he has an absolute banger of a return match against one of the newest signees to AEW, the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith. And when this match got announced, like, immediately I was like, damn, like, I almost want to make the trek to Ottawa to go to the show for this match alone.
Well, you were so thrilled just to see him come back, because he's kind of an example of someone who was, we didn't know if we were going to see him again.
Oh, ridden with health problems. And when you have so many health complications, again, yeah, like you said, there's questions of whether you'll be able to do it again. And we got to see the return of Kyle on Wednesday, and now getting a chance to see him actually go and be in the ring. I'm a huge Kyle O'Reilly fan. Like, if you scroll back on my Facebook, I've got a picture with him back when he was the IWGP and Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion. Like, I'm a big Kyle O'Reilly guy. I'm very happy to see him back. And it's interesting the route they're going, because O'Reilly's made it very clear that he doesn't want to be included in the Undisputed Kingdom. However, embracing them following the match. So I do find that interesting. He even addressed it kind of in a post-match promo where he's like, yeah, it's good to have the support of my friends. I need to do this on my own. And also being confronted by Shibata. So maybe a future tease of a match going down there as well. So again, go out of your way to check out O'Reilly and Keith. That was not necessarily a long match or anything, not necessarily like a marathon match, but like for what
worth
they brought,
the watch.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and excited to see what Kyle O'Reilly does back in AEW again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your number one.
And speaking of Shibata, my number one was our opening match of the night.
I will be joining you on that.
I had a funny feeling. I'm going to attempt to say the first name. Kusiori Shibata?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Okay. I'm not going to attempt it. But that's
versus Bryan Danielson.
Yes.
I never want to be disrespectful with my pronunciation. I'm just not great at pronouncing things always.
That's why I don't even attempt.
Yeah. But
Danielson Shibata, when this match graphic went out, I was like, well, all right. If the show wasn't already stacked enough, we just got a banger on a free TV episode.
And this is what people were describing as like a dream match, because these were two guys that we didn't know again if we were ever going to get to see them wrestle again. As you were saying, very similar injuries that we thought were career-ending injuries. Like, I saw this match described as a recent impossibility. And so the fact that we got to see it, and the fact that they went as hard as they did.
Yep.
Like, again, you want to talk about people who just beating the shit out of each other. Like, obviously, Danielson, a great technical wrestler. But the moment of them just sitting down face to face and just smacking
each other.
Just absolutely hard hitting. Like, the intensity of sitting face to face and just looking each other in the eyes while they mark each other up was just insane.
Yeah, the hard hitting it can't even be described. Again, this is a match that you definitely gotta go out of your way to see. I believe altogether it was about a 20-minute match, so like a good opening match for Collision. Collision always usually kicks off with a banger match, I've noticed, and that's kind of been the formula since day one, and they continued it in a big way here with Danielson and Shibata. Yeah, both of our number ones this week. I don't think there was any question.
No, there was never really a doubt that deserved the number one spot.
And Danielson actually addressing Will Ospreay later in the show, too. Just the way he's just in his zone and just meditating and at peace. And it's just like a whole different side of Bryan Danielson that, like, it's almost more intimidating than the wrestler side, because it's like you can be this calm but get that vicious. You know? It's crazy.
It's almost unsettling when you see somebody that calm. Like, it's one thing if you see somebody who's just like a loud fighter, but when you see someone so calm and zen and in his zone and making such aggressive threats, it like sends a shiver down your spine.
Absolutely does. Yeah, no, a great start to Collision. And honestly, again, a great Collision across the board this week. I was really happy that we had a chance to see a few of these matches that went down. And Ottawa brought it, too. Like, the crowd was into the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, happy to see. I think this was the first stop on, like, the few Canadian dates that they've got coming up. So
yeah, because they're kind of working their way west, which is going to be exciting. Glad that we get to see them before yep. as they travel through.
But yeah, that was our top three for this week. I'm going to do a quick rundown of the rest of the Collision show. Of course, we're going to give you a brief rundown on Rampage as well, and then we'll wrap it up and get out of here. Before we do that, though, man, what a pay-per-view last week from Revolution. AEW just knocked it out of the park. I just wanted to kind of tip the cap to AEW because, honestly, that's might be one of the best pay-per-views we've had.
I was going to say the same thing. It was just, like, truly great start to finish.
Well, people are still talking about the Ospreay-Takeshita match.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It's been very cool to see the last couple of weeks for AEW. The signees have been huge the last few weeks. Obviously, the official arrival of Will Ospreay, the re-debut of Okada as a member of the Elite, and of course, this past week, the big business debut of Mercedes Moné.
The CEO.
Yeah, that theme, very catchy.
Very catchy.
Very catchy, very chantable. Yeah, just a huge past couple of weeks for AEW with some signees, some big business being done, pun intended.
Huh.
And as we go into a new pay-per-view coming up in April for Dynasty.
Yeah, I was going to say Dynasty.
Yeah. And then, of course, Double or Nothing coming up in May. I'm assuming the Owen Hart tournament is going to be on the horizon as well, so a lot of cool stuff on the horizon for AEW, including, of course, the AEW Tag Team Championship Tournament happening right now.
Yeah, a lot of good AEW going on right now. It's a good time to be watching.
But the rest of the show, we have Julia Hart against Trisha Dora in an open
house match, which I actually really enjoy that wording as a member of the House of Black.
Yeah, just House sort of Rules. The rule that Trisha Dora chose was the loser was banned from ringside for the main event match. So I did not even know that until, honestly, I read up on the results. But actually, that makes a lot of sense considering Julia was a part of the main event.
Julia, as well as Adora is
a member of the infantry.
A member of the infantry. So it did have some deeper storyline to it.
Yeah, infantry all over this episode, too. Shout out to them for making their mark on AEW programming. But yes, Julia retaining the TBS championship. We had Daniel Garcia versus Lee Moriarty and two of the youngest technical wrestlers on the roster going at it. And honestly, man, they delivered. Garcia picking up a victory with a leg lock. Also very interesting because he's known to get the victory via that jackknife roll up and a little bit more solidification on his victory there with the submission victory. We had a promo with Zack Knight and Harley Cameron as originally set for the show was Cool Hand Ange against Zack Knight. Zack saying that he's not giving Cool Hand the hometown advantage.
Yep. Which is like a kind of deep cut. That's rough.
Yeah, just about an hour and a half down the road for Cool Hand Ange was addressed by him later, and or not even on the show. It was, I think, an exclusive that was posted on their socials. But we had Pac returning to AEW programming as he took on Aaron Solo. A quick match for Pac. And calling out Tony Khan, basically saying, give me the best competition or I'm going to go find it.
Yeah. And just like really great welcome back chance for Pac. Like he's trying not to show any emotion as he's in that zone, but like you could tell he's so happy to be back.
Quick promo in the back from Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa as the previous night at Rampage, we had an enhancement match for Toni Storm and Mariah May for the first time teaming together. And afterwards, the match being set up for Dynamite this week. And originally being advertised as Deonna Purrazzo and a mystery partner, so Tony being like, I don't care who your mystery partner is, whatever. And Deonna bringing out Thunder Rosa, the former AEW Women's World Champion.
Yeah, so very exciting.
Them addressing the match and just saying that they're coming for Toni Storm and Mariah May. Very, very straightforward, essentially. And that, I think, is pretty much it across the board.
I was going to say, running through the rest of the card, I believe, pretty much is just highlighting our top threes of the week. So.
Yep. Of course, going to Rampage really quickly as well as we had a preview of the AEW World Tag Team Championship Tournament, as we had the Best Friends, not the original Best Friends, as unfortunately Chuck Taylor injured, but Orange Cassidy, the former international champion, going after some more gold potentially as he teams with Trent Beretta to take on the Dark Order. And yeah, that was a fun little tag team match. I mean, those guys can always go. I think when it comes to the Dark Order, it doesn't matter what variation you get. I mean, in this match, you had Silver and Uno, which was a little bit of a different variation.
It's exciting to see Uno because you don't always get to see him.
It's nice, wrestling. Too, because him being from that area, getting a chance to... I guess this was on Wednesday. That was taped. Scratch what I just said there.
It was a good thought.
But yes, no, even both sides, really, Best Friends, you're used to seeing Chuck and Trent switching up with OC and Trent, and then you're used to seeing either Silver and Reynolds, or of course Uno and Stu, now switching it up with Silver and Uno. So
I like being able to see factions that play around with their pairings, honestly.
Yep. Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta are victorious in this match as well. We did have a little bit of a pre-tape video from the Righteous. We ended up having Tony Storm and Mariah May defeat Kayla Sparks and Little Mean Kathleen. We had Queen Aminata addressing the ROH World TV Women's Championship Tournament going down in Ring of Honor.
Nice.
We had Takeshka defeat Commander. I believe Commander was supposed to be in a match on Collision as well.
He was supposed to be Pac's opponent, but unfortunately injured, which is how Aaron Solo got that part.
Yes, so Takeshka taking him out the previous night on Rampage. And then we had the Undisputed Kingdom defeating Action Andretti and Top Flight in the main event. So, yeah, anything to go out of your way for, if I'm being quite honest, on Rampage there. I mean, I'm sure the Undisputed Kingdom Top Flight Action Andretti match was fun. I know the Orange Cassidy Trent Beretta Dark Order match was pretty fun to watch. So, yeah. It's going to be interesting this Wednesday. We've got Dynamite Rampage back-to-back. 3 hours of AEW programming airing live for the first time on a Wednesday night. So props to AEW for getting that extra time slot. No Collision next week again. So we will not be around next week. But be sure to show the love that you do this show to every single show here on SMNE Radio. Big shout-out to them for hosting us every single week as... we're getting very close to that year mark that we've been doing Collision Catch-Up, which is pretty wild.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that the other day because I was remembering the day that you called me to be like, hey, want to do a podcast, and where I was. And I'm like, oh, we're hitting that point.
So a big thank you to everybody who continues to listen along and listen to my rambles and listen to my theories that sometimes get a little out of hand. But we appreciate the listens. We appreciate the love. And again, go show that same love to every single show on this very network. A lot of pro wrestling, a lot of pop culture, music, MMA. There's so much stuff covered on this network, so go check it out. But yeah, I'm at Matthew Grant, First Days of Four. Check me out on all forms of social media. Follow my journey of independent professional wrestling. I had a bit of a break from shows for a bit. Got a chance to take part in the Mustafa Ali seminar a couple of weeks ago, but other than that, it's been a little bit of a slow month for me, but getting back into the gear of things, of course, today with Proper Uproar live on YouTube, Crossbody Pro Wrestling, check it out. Uproar every single Wednesday on YouTube, taping starting up again this Friday night. And then, New Frontier at the end of the month, a lot of cool stuff on the horizon in April. So follow along my cool journey and keep up with what I'm doing.
And you can find me on all forms of social media at Aaron154Grant. You can follow, just see what I'm getting up to, because I never really know what to expect and where I'm going to pop up. So this has been Collision Catch-Up. Thank you so much for listening.